chapter 6 and verse 12. All right. Judges 6 and verse 12. I'm going to grab a drink of water while y'all are turning. Brother Mike, I'm only going to drink one. I don't think it'll shorten the message any, though. Judges 6 and verse 12, it reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the blessings that you've given us, Lord, for allowing us to assemble together, Lord, and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we're free to do so. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings that you've given us, Lord, but most especially for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you'll forgive us for the places that we failed you, Lord. I just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds and allow us to take in your word and apply it to our lives, that we could be the witnesses and examples of you that we should be. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to make you the priority in our lives and that we'll chase after you wholeheartedly. We thank you and we praise you in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys can keep your finger in Judges chapter 6. We're not going to leave this chapter in this message. But I love this story. This is the story of Gideon, right? And let me give you a brief synopsis of what's going on here. So at this point in time, the Israelites have not done what they were supposed to do. And so they're being chastised by the Midianites. The Midianites were in power. And in a couple different places in here, it tells us that even the camels of the Midianites were innumerable. They had this huge host. And what they would do is they would wait for the Israelites to get the fields ready, plant, take care of the crop, harvest it, get everything taken care of, get ready to go into the silos. And then the Midianites would come across, take everything they had, and go back to Midian. And this was happening repeatedly. And so we enter Gideon, who at this point in time is trying to hide and secretly harvest his crop so the Midianites won't know. So as he's hiding and secretly harvesting his crop, an angel of the Lord appears to him and calls him what? A mighty man of valor. Right? That's absurd to us. A mighty man of valor, he's hiding. But see, it's not absurd to God because God isn't like us. See, God created time for our benefit. God is outside of time, so that's why God can know the things that happen from beginning to end before they happen. See, our God is so big that he knows the number of pebbles of sand at every beach in the world. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the number of stars in the sky because he created all of it. That's the God that we serve. And so it wasn't crazy for God to say that he was a mighty man of valor, even when he's hiding. And so I think a lot of us already know the story of Gideon. Hopefully, there's three things that I really want you to take away from this. Three facts. The number one fact is we aren't slaves to who we currently are. We're not slaves. We're new creations in Christ. The second fact that I want us to take away from this story is we really don't know what we could be if we would just submit ourselves to God. And the third fact, and this is the big one, you shouldn't be surprised by what God can and will do when you submit yourself to him. Because that's the God that we serve. So let's look again at Judges 6 and verse 12. Judges 6 and verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." He's identified as a mighty man of valor while hiding. And let me tell you, even Gideon thought that this was crazy. Okay, he didn't have any special training. He didn't graduate from West Point, right? He didn't have any grand leadership skills. He was just an average farmer. That's who Gideon was. He was tending his crops. He was trying to secretly harvest his crops and not get his stuff taken. That's really all he wanted to do. And Gideon, He could have refused to do what God told him to do. When God called, he could have said, I'm not the guy, and walked away. And you know what? God would have found someone else to handle the task. God has an awesome tool belt, right? Better than Batman, right? That's the God. He has all these tools. He selected Gideon, but Gideon didn't have to do it. Gideon had choice in the matter. Gideon chose to do what he was supposed to, but if he would have walked away, God would have found a different tool. Just like when we're looking around the house for a hammer for that nail, and we can't find it, the wrench works just as good, right? It's the same with God. He could use any tool that he wanted. He chose Gideon for the task. Now, let me tell you something about Gideon. Gideon wasn't the bravest guy around, obviously, right? He wasn't the toughest, the smartest. He was just an average, everyday Joe like you or me. That's who Gideon was. In fact, Gideon didn't have any delusions about who he was. Look with me, if you will, at verse 15 of Judges chapter 6. It says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon said, I'm nobody. Are you sure you came to the right Gideon? Right? That's his response. He's like, do you know who I am? Do you see where I'm at? That's Gideon's mindset. He said, I'm not the right guy. But we're not slaves to who we currently are or who we have been in the past. I will tell you right now that there's days where I don't like who I am or who I have been. Maybe you're in the same boat tonight. We look back on all the different things that we've had in our lives and we say, man, I wish I could have done this over and that over. You guys heard that word regret, right? See, that doesn't make us a slave to that. We're new creations in Christ. I've heard people say, oh, you know what? I can't witness because I don't know very much about the Bible. Or, you know what? I'm a new Christian. Let me tell you, it takes absolutely zero Bible memorization to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Amen. See, God gave each and every one of us a testimony that's unique to us that we should be using to share Christ with this lost and dying world. No scripture memorization required. We can tell people about God. And how often is it that we get worried about the things around us, our circumstances, how people will view us? You know, when God called me into the ministry, I was working in the oil fields in Southern California, making nearly six figures. I had a union job. I had 3 pages of seniority behind me, 4 weeks vacation, 401k. I said, God, are you sure? I could give a lot of money to you just staying right here. Are you sure this is what you want? And so I left that and I moved my family to East Texas. I didn't even have a job at that point in time. People thought I was crazy. They said, everything's on a downturn. You have all this seniority behind you. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go do what God told me to do. I jokingly told our kids that we were canceling Christmas because I made 1/10 of what I made my last year working in the oil fields, waiting tables in Henderson, Texas. 1/10, almost exactly. Let me tell you, we didn't miss a single bill. Obviously, you can tell I didn't miss any meals, right? And at Christmas, the churches in East Texas got together and sent presents for the kids of the seminary students. My kids had more presents our first year in seminary than they did our last year in Texas, because that's the God that we serve. God doesn't call us to do things and then not give us the things that we need and more if we're willing to follow. It doesn't matter who we've been in the past. It doesn't matter about our past failures. What matters about is what God's calling you to do right now. Amen. We're not slaves to who we currently are because it's God that changes people. You can't change yourself. No matter how hard you try, you can't change yourself. God changes people. Aren't you so glad that God changed you this evening? What God desires is willing individuals. Are you willing to do what God is calling you to do? Because while we're not slaves to who we were and who we have been, we really don't know what we could be. That's the second fact. It's a fact. We have all these ideas, and that's what hinders us. Oh, but our God is bigger than our ideas. Look with me, if you will, at Judges 6:14-15. Judges chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said unto him, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And Gideon's response, "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon said, you got the wrong guy. I don't think that you realize who I am. Amen. Gideon was completely focused on himself. Right? He said, I'm not the guy for the job. Why? Oh, because my family's poor. I'm a nobody. That was his first excuse. He said, oh, you know what, God? I'm hiding. I'm hiding. I can't be the leader of the army. Are you sure? And then most importantly, the thing that gets us as well, he looked at his own power. Look again at verse 15. It says, "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" He said, "God, I can't do this." And you know what God's response was? "You're right. It's okay. I got this. It's not about you." See, Gideon was completely focused on himself. Do we sometimes do that exact same thing? Let me tell you right now, I'm the least qualified person to go to Romania and plant churches. In fact, you might not believe this looking at me right now, but I'm absolutely 100% terrified of public speaking. That's who God called to go and preach the gospel. In fact, it's so bad, when I was in the military, I was stationed in North Dakota in the fire department there. At some point in time, everybody had to give a safety talk at our shift change. And it came my day, and I'm absolutely terrified, standing there shaking, knees knocking, and I had back safety. And I said, make sure you lift with your back and not your legs. Oh! And I turned bright red. I couldn't finish what I was saying. Everybody's roaring laughing, and they had to help me finish the presentation. That's who God called to preach the word. Was that too big for our God? No. He knew my perceived lack of ability. It didn't matter to God. You know what? The Bible is riddled with people that said, "Oh, God, I can't do that." There's this one man, maybe you've heard of him, his name was Moses, right? What did he say when God called him? My mouth doesn't work right, my tongue is slow, I can't do this, God. And I love God's response. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? Didn't I, God? Don't you think that I know exactly what you're capable of? And if you're not capable of it, don't you think I could change that? That's the God that we serve. There was another prophet. His name was Isaiah. He said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Jeremiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm a child." Do any of these excuses stand up before God? No. They're just that. They're excuses. They're things that we throw out there that we hope that it'll gain traction and we'll get out of the thing that we know we're supposed to do, right? But let me tell you, 100% of the time, when excuses meet truth, one of them goes away and it's not truth. So when you stand before God and you say, "Oh God, I can't do that, I don't have the ability," do you think God's going to accept that? No, because God knows exactly what he created in you. And God is calling you to do something. God's calling each and every one of us to do something. We look at our failures and say, "Oh God, I can't do what you want me to do because I failed before." You know, when they were creating the light bulb, it said that they had thousands and thousands of failures. And he said, those aren't failures. I just found out thousands and thousands of ways not to make a light bulb. Right? It just all depends on our perspective. If our failures build us to something in Christ, then they're of benefit. God's trying to teach us lessons. Are we learning our lessons? We look at our lack of skills. That doesn't matter to God. God's bigger than what you think you can do. So many times they say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I don't know how you do that. I could never do that. Oh, I don't think I'm qualified for that. We have a God that's bigger than what you think or what I think. Because I said the exact same thing. I could never be a missionary. I could never go into the ministry. Be careful what you tell God you can never do. Because we have a God that's bigger than you. And he's bigger than circumstances. And lastly, just like Gideon did, we look to our own power, don't we? We say, I don't have the strength to do that. And God tells us the exact same thing he told Gideon. Great! You don't need it. This is on me. You just have to do what I tell you to do. Amen. See, that's what God is really looking for. God's looking for people that are willing to say, here am I, send me. And it doesn't have to be to Romania. It can be across the street to your neighbor. Amen. Because what God desires more than anything is obedience. God wants children that will obey him. God is calling you to do something tonight. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you what it is. But the first call is always, always, always to salvation. Because you can't do anything for God if you're not one of his children. And then the next call is to scriptural baptism and church membership. You're tonight unite with the church because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:21 that God gets glory through the church. So we're to be baptized and join a church. And then third is service. And God is always calling us to do more. Correct me if I'm wrong, brother. I haven't found in here anywhere through my Bible where it says, come in, sit down, put your feet up and relax. You've arrived. Yeah, exactly. That's not what the Bible tells us. It tells us that we're to come in and to work. The Bible tells us that there's different pieces to the body, right? Everybody's not the eye. Everybody's not the hand. Everybody's not the feet. We all have different jobs that we're supposed to do, but we're all supposed to do a job. Amen. I had a supervisor. He always used to tell us, nobody should have two jobs until everyone has one. We're to get busy working for God. Amen. I have a pastor friend. He told me that they had an 80-year-old shut-in who called him and said, Pastor, I want to do something. I know that I can't get out of the house. Can you send me a list of people that have missed on Sunday, and I'll write them a letter? Amen. Do you have a desire to serve your God no matter what? Because we have this mental image of what we can and can't do, and that's really what limits what God will do with us. Are you willing to do whatever God calls you to do? Because Gideon, if it was in his own power, he was not the guy for the job, right? And let me just give you a quick synopsis because the third fact is you shouldn't be surprised by what God can and do if you'll submit yourself to him. So what happened? God finally gets Gideon on board, and Gideon says, all right, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. So he calls together the army of Israel, and God says, you got too many, send them away. Right? Can you imagine the look on Gideon's face? God, do you know how war works, right? What do you mean we have too many? How can you have too many? But God answers Gideon's question, because I know that was in there. Before Gideon could get it out, God said, if you go with this number, then you might be able to claim that you did something. Right. See, that's not what God wanted. God wanted to get all the honor and glory. God wanted everyone in that entire region, in the entire world, to know that there is a God, there's one God, and he was the God of Israel. Amen. And so God said, send them away. And so he sent them away, and God said, you still got too many, send them away. Till they were down to 300 men. against an innumerable host.
That's right.
And what happened? The Midianites were utterly destroyed. Because it wasn't about the 300, it was about the one. There is a God, and he wants everyone to know, and he's going to work through people to get his message out. Are you willing to submit yourself to God and see what he'll do? See, God knew Gideon better than Gideon knew himself. And Gideon said, oh, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. And God didn't say, oh, I didn't realize that. Let me go find a different Gideon.
Yeah, amen.
No! God knew exactly who he was. In fact, God had fashioned his lineage. That's the God that we serve. Gideon said, oh, you don't want me. I'm hiding. The angel appeared before him. It wasn't a surprise to God. You can't hide from God.
Amen.
But see, God knew what most of us seem to miss. God knows what can be done through a submissive servant. Are you willing to follow God no matter what? You see, that's the age-old question, because God knows what can be done in your life and through you. And that's what God desires. God desires to have your heart and a place in your life and for you to serve him and follow him no matter what. Are you willing to follow God? Or do you have a lot of excuses? I've been on both sides of it. I've had a lot of excuses. Ask my wife. I've had a lot of excuses. God wants submissive servants. Oh, we refer to it as writing God a blank check. Right? All right, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's hard to do. Let me tell you, it's not the easiest step. But God is looking for people to serve him. And he's calling each and every one of us here tonight to serve him. Are you willing to serve God? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer it for yourself. But God desires submissive servants. That's where God works. God works through people. We've seen it time and again. Are you willing to go for God? I don't know what God's calling you to, but I know he's calling each and every one of us to do something, do more. We're supposed to, at the very least, be praying for each other and witnessing. That's the very minimum. Are you doing what God's calling you to do this evening? If the musicians will come, if you'll stand, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I want to pray for you, and then I'll turn things back over to your pastor. If you'll bow with me. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for loving us no matter what. When we were unlovable, you loved us. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to lay our excuses aside, that we'll follow you wholeheartedly, that our lifelong goal will be to please you. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for the areas where we've failed you, where we've messed up. Lord, and I just pray that you'll help us to be bold, to take whatever task you give us and to seek wholeheartedly after you, to show your light in this lost and dying world. We thank you and we praise you in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The altar is open. Won't you come? Won't you just be submitted to what God has for you? Won't you just ask? If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Have you repented and called upon him to save you, believing upon Christ? It requires no scripture memory to do that. And as a Christian, we just tell that story of how we did that to others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody needs to be serving in some way. You can't just take in all the time. You've got to give out that which God gives you. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the message and the messenger tonight. Father, truly you are a great God. You are already have in mind what you would have us do in your service. Now, Father, please speak to every heart. As we go from this place, God, let us see that we are entering the mission field, that each one of us is a missionary with the message of Christ. Help us to deliver it to others. I know we can't take it to the wrong address. There's just no place we shouldn't take it. Help us, oh God. Now, Father, also bless the Morgans. Meet their physical and financial needs. God, please get them to the field. And, Father, we ask that you would do it in a way where you would be glorified. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Saturday.